Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, the Fantastic Four have spoken. Woo. George, Ted, Ryan, Matt.
I thought you were talking about me and you and Adam and Chris, no?
I am not talking about them.
No.
Can I offer an apology first?
What you need to apologize for, but
well,
go right ahead.
These are the moments where my heart like jumps out of my body. When I need to get something out there, and no one loves to apologize, right? Saying you always used to make fun of me by saying that what would the Fonz say that I'm sorry never could be said?
No, he just would always stumble. He couldn't say he was
wrong
or he was ever sorry. That's why I call my wife the Fonz.
So look, I want to be accountable, and I need to start by apologizing to you. I need to apologize to Bleck and Abdallah. I need to apologize to the Chicago sports fan. For the last 3 to 4 months, I've been on these airwaves talking about the Bears and how it starts at the top and on and on and on. And I've mentioned George McCaskey. And every time someone would call about George McCaskey, I would always tell you that George wants to win. He just may not know how. And that this is bothering George and the changes would happen. And George isn't going to sit by and let this happen. And whenever you called in or tweeted me and you said, this is just business, Mark Jean Greco, I want to apologize to you too, because 2 days ago I got into it with you when you said they're just going to not do anything because of COVID and this is the Bears way. And I go, no, this isn't the Bears way. George is different. George fired a guys 10 years ago. Remember what he did with Jerry Angelo. Remember what he did with Phil Emery. Remember what he did with Mark Trestman, on and on and on. And George is different. George is different than business as usual. And I would like to say I'm sorry today because I was dead wrong. Because George McCaskey doesn't want to win. Because George McCaskey doesn't care about you, the Bears fan. That it is business as usual for the Bears up at Halas Hall. That today's actions speak louder than anything you can ever say. You can, whether you want to release a statement, whether you want to talk for 45 minutes at a press conference, what you did today at Halas Hall has ruined everything I've said about you for the last 2 years. George, I thought you were different. Bears fans, I am sorry. I misled you. And as somebody who loves the Bears and someone who grew up here and somebody who wants this team to do well, I stuck my foot in the mouth for the last 6 months because I told you that George cares. And he had an opportunity today to prove it. And all he did today was enabled Ted Phillips. And he enabled the losing culture going on at Halas Hall. So for that, everybody, I'm sorry.
Apology accepted. I don't know that I agree 100%. I still think George wants to win. I think George has used bad judgment in terms of how to go about winning, because what he told you today was this is the best path. I think he wants to win. I think I truly still think he wants to win. I just disagree with what he feels is the best path to get to that winning environment. I mean,
Waddle, listen, how could you keep the same team president and enable him by having him up there in the spotlight and a guy who's been here through it all, the 35-year Super Bowl drought, the 10-year playoff win drought, the 6-game losing streak, and vault him up even more and have him sort of wag his finger at everybody.
I'm with you.
How could you do that and say you want to win, that George wants to win and do that?
Well, I think he feels that this is the best way to get to become a winning organization, and I just disagree with it. Like, what is the benefit for doing this? Like, money is inconsequential when your entity is worth. I mean, it's not totally inconsequential, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying when your asset is worth a couple of billion dollars, How much does it really cost to blow out your general manager and your coach and the staff and everything? It's nothing. So this, to me, is, and again, this is just my own opinion, this isn't about money. This isn't about complacency. Well, don't you think George knows he's going to make money over the course of time? Yes, COVID has caused an interruption in the revenue cycle for all professional sports. It's caused an interruption in the revenue cycle for most people in around the world, especially here in the United States, or that's, you know, what we're most focused on. But he knows 18 months from now, his entity's still going to be worth well over $2 billion and growing. So this, to me, has never been about money, because the money will always be there. So then what is the benefit to doing it this way? You don't make change, so it doesn't cost you anymore, but money's really not an issue because you're going to make a ton of money anyway. I truly believe he feels this is their best path to victory. I told you this yesterday, and
but
again,
nobody with the right mind could think that, Waddle.
Okay,
they stood up there today, and I want to play you some cuts. They stood up there today, and they vaulted up their 6-game losing streak. They used it as an asset. They said, "Hey, look at us. We lost 6 games in a row, but we did not quit." Ted Phillips even said, we won 3 out of our last 4. They vaulted up a 6-game losing streak. Can you name the other teams in the league who lost 6 games in a row this year?
No, I can't. Listen, everything you're saying is accurate.
Well,
here
they are. The Jets and the Jaguars. That's it. The 3 teams in the NFL this year who lost 6 games in a row are the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Bears. And you used it as a positive today by saying, look at us, look at how we responded. You are amongst the 2 worst teams in this league, and you're doing business by saying, I think these guys we can win with. That, to me, is putting your money where your mouth is by showing us with your actions that you don't care about winning.
Yeah, I call it incompetence. I call it poor management. I don't think that the desire to win has escaped. So, I mean, maybe this is a semantical argument, but I agree with all of the other assessments you're making. I'm just not completely connecting those dots. Listen, to me, this was... You're not going to win this press conference because what you did was you stepped to the microphone to tell everyone in this town that everyone was back. You immediately lose that press conference with the masses because the vast majority of people in this town that love this team wanted some sort of change. So you're not going to win this press conference. But boy, I don't know how it could have gone any further south. Like, I mean, the concept we always talked about. You know, we had this conversation always argued with Cap about, you know, Ryan Pace. Well, he drafted with conviction. And I'm fine with a guy that drafts players with conviction. But I always said I'd prefer someone who drafts with competence. And when you talk about collaboration, if you're collaborating on bad decisions, how important is collaboration? Right. So it's like all of these catchphrases and all of these important words and all of these things, you know, the continuity. Well, if you have continuity, but you're together making collaboratively bad decisions, you're really not making any progress. So
we role played yesterday. We've done things like, what would they say? If we spent 4 hours on the show yesterday, hey guys, let's come up with the worst things they could say when they meet the media. What is the worst possible situation that they could do? We could not have topped what the Bears produced today. I said earlier in a tweet, I've covered this team. I grew up a lifelong Bears fan. I was inside Hallis Hall when the Dave McGinnis fiasco happened. If you missed it, it's when they announced they hired him without coming to terms to his contract and not allowing him to hire his assistant coaches. So they announced he was head coach before he agreed to the contract, and he walked out. And it eventually led to Michael McCaskey giving up his leadership of the organization to Ted Phillips. It was so bad. To me, that's the only thing on par with what I saw today. It was tone deaf. It was incompetent. It was actions showing me that George McCaskey doesn't care about winning. I want to play you a couple of things if you missed it. George McCaskey today, and this is what I've been highlighting. I've always said, okay, we could yell at Pace for making the wrong decision at quarterback, but he was allowed to go rogue. If you had good leadership at the top, your general manager can't go rogue and allow your coach not to know and everything like that and to do things secretly. So I've always yelled, it starts at the top. And this, I believe, includes Mark Potash's questions regarding leadership at the top of the organization and who impacts what. And this was part of the press conference to George McCaskey earlier today.
Hey, George, even with this year's playoff appearance, the Bears have been in the playoffs 7 times in 28 years since the end of the Ditka era. And to a lot of fans, that reflects on you. So how much merit is there to the idea that the Bears need people more rooted in football to make these football decisions than you and Ted?
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys. I've heard it often that Ted meddles in football affairs, and that notion is just absurd. It just doesn't happen. He's the president and CEO. Ryan reports to Ted. But the idea that Ted or I meddle in football decisions just isn't true.
No, that's not my question. It's not about meddling in the actual football, like on the field. I think the criticism is that you are judging the coach and general manager, and I think people feel that the Bears need people more rooted in football to make that decision.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yeah. That's a valid criticism. My performance is evaluated by ownership and the board, and that's how that process works.
There you go. And that's my point. George doesn't know the business, and Ted certainly doesn't know the business, and he does matter. No one has ever said that Ted meddles in football.
Yeah.
The problem is there's no checks and balances, and Ryan can go rogue in the most important thing ever. If they had a true football president, there would be more brain power up there, and that stuff, the flawed processes that have happened before,
won't happen. Ted Phillips is a part of the group that makes the decision to hire Ryan Pace.
Right.
So whatever Ryan Pace is responsible, ultimately Ted is responsible for as well. Listen, I sat and watched it. I was texting back and forth with some other people. None of us could really believe some of the stuff we were hearing. But my concern from yesterday was realized today, that their acceptance of mediocrity is the result of the fact that they like Ryan and Matt. And their like of Ryan and Matt supersedes their performances as general manager and coach. And I think that came across quite a bit today. And to me, it's not a unilateral concept. You can like this guy, but he also has to be a good evaluator of talent. You can like this guy, but he also has to be a guy that can develop that talent. So if you want to have a likability contest, that is fine, but you also have to have people that are competent at their jobs.
Right.
And I think that when you listen to what was going on, it was quite evident that George and Ted both really like Matt and Ryan. Can you separate church and state there? You can like someone and then look at their performance and say, that's not good enough.
Right.
Like, I think you made the point
it's
yesterday.
It's a winning business. Listen, and they don't win.
Yeah, give them some property together, and you guys can all have, you know, some vacation homes near one another, and you can all be good friends for the rest of eternity. But I just don't know how you look. Look, they asked, did anybody else, I wrote this down as well, did anyone else get the feeling that maybe Ryan Pace had gotten a contract extension for
a year? Well, and I want to play that for you next. Yeah,
did anybody else hear that maybe Pace hasn't decided to move away from Mitch? I mean, there were a lot of things that were implied.
Like to say, it's really weird. It's really weird, the Ryan Pace contract situation. I want
to
play you that coming up next.
Nobody wanted to answer. When is your guy? When do your guys' contracts run out?
It's amazing. 332-3776. Ryan Pace eludes the pass rush when it comes to his future with the Bears. That's next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Mm-hmm.
Get your season tickets here.
Season
tickets here.
Who wants to fill Soldier Field in 2021? Who wants to spend $100 for a tailgating pass?
Depressed. I got my Bears pullover on. I'm answering texts from people like, Waddle, what's the problem? And I'm like, dude, I can't solve this.
Former Bears texted you, right? That you got texts from former Bears?
I did, but I protect.
That's all the, I'm not going to sell them out.
Collectively, I would just say this, that there is a lot of people feeling the same way, like they didn't understand what they were hearing. And it didn't make any sense. And like you mentioned it before the break, it's a phrase I use quite often, and it's not a technical phrase, but it's weird.
It's weird. Here's why this is important, okay? Then we'll get to all your calls at 332-3776. Ryan Pace's contract is important, okay? Because he's had one winning season in 6 years. One. The 12-4 year. He's below 500 for his career. With Greeny, I listed all the bad quarterbacks that he has brought to Chicago. And it's a terrible, terrible list. And then there have been years when he simply would not draft any other quarterbacks. So it's important. How long does he have left? And then the other part to this is, how long do you have left on your contract? Is it only the 1 year that people think? Because if you're brought back this year on a win or get fired sort of ultimatum, you could do even greater damage to your team, because this is a guy who is fighting for his job, and he will do everything for next year and not what's in the best interest of the organization. You are going to trade more draft capital to acquire guys, which may not be right, because you're looking to save your job.
And it may not be done with malice. It wouldn't be done with malice, but it would be done in terms of not having the right, as you just described. Look, when you are in CYA mode and you're trying to save your occupation, remember, there's only 32 of these. There's only 32 of these jobs in the world. And you're trying to maintain your status of your job. What you're doing is going to make decisions that you think are best for the team, but also best for you keeping your job. And those decisions may or may not be what's best for the franchise 4 years down the line.
And he's not getting another GM job when he gets fired from the Bears. He's going to get a job, but not a general manager's job. So let me start with Ted, who the CEO and president, and George McCaskey, regarding the contract statuses of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
That's an ongoing process. That'll be mostly in Ted's hands, but we haven't really gotten to that yet.
JJ?
Yeah, I can add that the contracts haven't been part of our discussions. It's not a concern with anyone. And when we show improvements, contracts will take care of themselves.
Again, and if you think that football president doesn't have any power, the owner just told you that contracts for your general manager and coach are in Ted Phillips' hands.
Yeah, I mean, I think that concept is kind of been debunked, right? That there's, I mean, Ted is your, as George introduced him, he's the CEO and president of the team.
And so
he may not be in offensive meeting rooms and telling you when not to run the RPO, but when it comes down to, who do you think George sat down with after the final game of the season and asked for input for, you know, what would be very important decisions about the future of a bunch of people going forward?
Football president. So here's Ryan Pace, and it includes the question. And boy, Ryan Pace just loves to dodge the questions.
Well, Ryan, with all due respect, we do know the terms of the players' contracts. I'm just asking when they expire. I don't care what you make or anything like that.
And to me, Hub, that's just a non-factor in anything we're doing. I understand why you're asking it, but to me, it's just all about what's best for the team, and without getting into contract durations or any specifics.
So
first thing that went through my mind, Sylvie, honestly, was, wow, I knew, or I thought that Pace, or that Nagy had 2 years left and Pace had one, but now after hearing this,
right,
something tells me that they matched him up, and maybe, and again, my speculation.
Why are you keeping it a secret if it's no big deal?
No, and I thought Hub presented the question perfectly. He's like, listen, I don't care how much you make, and we do know the duration of the players' contracts. Why is this such a secret?
Yeah, it's incredible. Brian in Ohio, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I want to put some optimism into you guys.
Ah.
Who's the last GM in the league that you would want to draft a quarterback?
We've got him.
Yeah, exactly. So this year we're probably going to take Kyle Trask or some bum at 20. And we're going to go 2-14 next year. Then hopefully that's enough to get all those guys out of here. We get a new GM, a fresh start, a number one pick. And look, next year we'll have a chance to finally get the quarterback of the future.
My question is, if you don't believe in them today, what makes you think they're going to get the right guy in a year, even if they do
lose? Your presentation just definitely did not take me from 6 to midnight. I'm just speaking for myself.
Jose and Hegwisch, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jose?
Fellas, listen up. You know, I'm going to be really non-passionate. I'm going to try to be non-passionate, but this is how I feel. After listening to that, I'm not going to call them the Chicago Bears anymore. They're Bears, Inc. They're a clothing line that owns a football team. They have cool colors. They got a cool logo. They have outstanding Bears gear. They got – what else they got? They got comforters. They have phone cases. They have cool throwback jerseys. I mean, from a fan's perspective, this looks like a big money move. And – For McCaskey to just storm out, like, that's it. There it is. That's it. Bro, like, really? Are you serious right now? I really want to get on Madden and just trade everyone. Because I'll tell you one thing. I will never, never, after the coronavirus, I hope to God it ends, I will never buy a ticket as long as Ted Phillips is still there. I would never buy a ticket.
One more thing.
I'm going to get off. He treated this fan base like a fair weather fan base, like we're the Jaguars. We know football. We are knowledgeable fans. For him to treat the Chicago Bears, their fans, like they just woke up yesterday and treat us like we're Jaguars or some franchise that just got established, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Good call, Jose, as always.
You know, it's like, I think it was Ted that was quoted, and maybe it was one of the other guys. I mean, I think they probably all had the same sentiment, but, you know, the question was that, and by the way, I thought collectively all of the guys and gals that cover the Bears were fantastic.
Yeah,
and their direct question today.
And
I thought the media was great today. I thought at one point they all admitted, yeah, Ryan got the quarterback selection wrong more than one occasion, and nope, we haven't won as many games as we need to win, but other than that,
yeah,
it's all good.
That's like the how was the play, Mrs. Yeah, Lincoln, right?
Right. Other than, yeah, but I mean, like, how do you, when you listen to that response, what does that inspire? That doesn't inspire confidence that it's going to get any better going forward. And the guy that has missed on the quarterback over and over again, and the guy that has been in charge of the talent for the last 6 years and has a losing record, and the coach, they're all nice guys, but the performance and the coach who was brought here to develop the quarterback that was drafted before he got here and to revolutionize the offense, and the offense was 21st in 2018. They were 29th in 2018. They were 21st. In 19, they were 29th. And this past year, what were they, 25th or 26th? Like, I don't know. When you look at this from a managerial perspective, I don't know what you're looking at that leads you to believe that 2020 is going to be any better.
That's why I don't now anymore believe that George wants to win. Lincoln Park Hallis, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lincoln Park Hallis?
Hey, how's it going, Sylvie? How's it going, Waddle?
Good. Better.
Just wanted to shout out Twitch first, but, man, I could not stand listening to that press conference at all. It was incredibly depressing and it made my blood boil, and the only thing I could think of is, man, if I take a shot every time I hear the word adversity or collaborate, it'll one, make this a better thing to listen to, and two, probably kill me so I can stop having to watch this disgrace of a franchise. At one point, George McCaskey said Matt and Ryan bring everything they need to this football team, wins and losses aside. What does that mean, wins and losses aside? This is a football franchise, not a marketing company. Anyways, have a good one. I'll listen to your
good
response.
Call. Really good, Linkin Park, Hallis. Yeah, I mean, to come out and to say I was impressed with both of them. Again, like, this is, there are so many colossal mistakes they made this year.
Let me ask you another question. They were 8-8, right? And,
yeah.
And they were championing the team and the staff for, after the 6-game losing streak, being able to win 3 in a row and not acknowledging who actually they beat. Chris, I mean, you chime in. You and I were having this conversation at one of the breaks about George, who failed to acknowledge what everybody else was acknowledging from the outside looking in, that 3-game win streak was more than a bit of a mirage.
Yeah, and, you know, Sylvie, we talked about it yesterday. Like, I asked the question to you guys, what if George McCaskey is, like some of the calls we were getting in the month of December, who those people were telling us that this team was actually turning the corner. They're playing better, even though the competition was some of the worst teams
he
in the NFL.
Fooled.
Yeah, right. And clearly, he believes in what he saw down the stretch from this offense and from this team coming together after a 6-game losing streak. He is just like some of those people that you guys explained for the entire month of December, that this team is not as good as the way they were playing against Jacksonville, against Detroit, against the teams that they were beating at the end of the season.
Texans.
It's amazing. You lost to Detroit, who just fired Matt Patricia. You lost to them. You choked a 10-point lead away, but they're vaulting that up in the response of winning 3 in a row against 3 lousy teams, then losing to the Packers and losing to the Saints. You lost 8 out of your last 11, period, end of story.
Yeah, the three-game win streak that was more valued or was looked at in a different way than the 6-game losing streak. And what if there was no streaks? What if they went win-loss, 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 whatever it was, and they ended up the season with the same record, 8-8, then got in? Would
they
you
would
still
be
feel the same way about your 8-8 football team?
They would be saying, hey, at least we didn't have any losing streaks. Like I said, the only two other teams had a 6-game losing streak this year, the Jaguars and the Jets. That's the company your Bears are in, and George can't see it. More next.
Great Clips wants you to know that their salons remain open under the current regulations, and they want you to feel great about getting a great haircut. And that's why they created the Great Care Promise. The Great Care Promise is a commitment by Great Clips to help keep you as safe as possible when you visit any of their 200 salons in Illinois or over 150 in the Chicagoland area. The Great Care Promise means that all Great Clips stylists and customers are required to wear a mask when inside the salon. Salon chairs and stylist tools are sanitized between each and every haircut. Great Clips offers contactless online check-in and ReadyNext text alerts through their Great Clips app. And all salons follow CDC, state, and local safety guidelines. Great Clips is doing more to keep salons clean and comfortable so you can look great and stay as safe as possible. Use the Great Clips app to check in online and get a ReadyNext text when you are next. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I don't like doing this because we want all of our front offices to be accountable. But I thought, Waddle, they would have been better off, the Bears, to just release the statement that Ryan and Matt are back and let those two talk. They would have gotten ripped left and right for not being accountable and not facing the music after a 6-game losing streak, a 1-7 record against playoff teams, on and on and on, not having a quarterback. They would have been ripped for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they could not have presented anything worse, and I'm talking about George and Ted, than they presented in the first 45 minutes, the press conference. If you're just getting into your car, the press conference was like in two segments. It was the George and Ted show to begin with, and it went 45 minutes, and then it was Matt and Ryan. And I appreciate that's when they introduced that, and I think they would have been better off with a press release than even to talk.
I agree. I will give George credit at the beginning of his press conference. I think he acknowledged the significant issue that COVID has been in our country, our society, our city, and that all of he praised those that have tried to make things significantly better and the first responders and everything. And I thought he hit a good note with that. I thought he mentioned that his organization and his coach and everybody did a really nice job staying disciplined and handling all of the difficulties associated with COVID. And it's something you and I have mentioned a lot. I think the Bears did a good job. I think the White Sox did a good job. I think all of our teams have.
The Cubs did a really good job, too.
The Cubs did a fantastic job as well. That goes... It's nice to acknowledge that, but there's also a performance part of this as well. There are other teams in the league that also did a good job and are still playing on Sunday.
Yes, yes.
So, like, you still, it's like, this is the whole concept to me when we have these conversations. It goes back to the very simple, essence of what you and I always talk about. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can acknowledge that they're really nice guys and be super critical of the job that they've done.
Yeah, to me it was, if you took the worst Gar and Pax press conference, the front office that everyone got sick of, if you took their worst press conference, this beat it by 10. By 10. Yeah. This beat it by 10. This was as bad as anything I've seen since Dave McGinnis.
They kept hammering two words, continuity and collaboration. What did it get you?
Nothing. It got nothing. 8-9. 8-9 is what you were. Don't tell me 8-8. Don't tell me about the three-game losing streak.
What did the fact that Matt and Ryan work really well together produce?
Nothing.
Mediocrity. What did the collaboration, what did it, you collaborated and your decisions obviously made you a mediocre team. So, I don't know, man.
Mike in Hoffman Estates, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
What's going on, gentlemen? I just want to kind of point out two main things. The main part is, this just shows that there's two types of owners. There's owners that want to win, like, Jerry Jones, a guy constantly trying to make moves, bringing new coaches in, trading players, trading picks. And then you have owners that want to own. They see it as an asset. Them going 500 is totally okay because they're still making money. You cannot tell me that someone can own an asset that large and they can't figure out to hire the right people with the amount of money they have. I'm telling you right now, if you gave the average person, the average sports fan, at least myself, I'm telling you, if I own a $2 billion, whatever they're worth, I'm finding guys that can find the right players and the right coaches. I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf did it for 6 to 7 years when D. Rose was up and down with injuries. He had Jim Boylan as a head coach. Up until last year, he didn't care. There's owners that want to win. And there's owners that want to own and see it as an asset. And you cannot tell me that George McCarthy actually cares about the Bears based off his intelligence and everything that he owns.
Again, actions. I mean, we could talk and talk and talk. And I defended him for 2 years. And I regret doing that today. Because, again, but his actions today were not in the best interest of his football team.
I'm in a different group over here when it comes to the concept of money, because I think money has gotten so large in the National Football League and the guarantee from the television revenue. Like, blowing out a coaching staff and a staff, it's a drop in the bucket. So, like, if there's anyone out there that is truly believing that the decisions are being made for monetary reasons, I mean... If that is what's going on, then that's silly, because as I've said 1,000 times, that's it's penny wise and pound foolish, because it's negligible. What you'd have to spend to make the change is negligible. I'm telling you, he truly feels these two nice guys that he really likes are the answer.
Well, then that's showing me then that
he doesn't. It's incompetence. I don't think it's
worried more about nice guys than winning.
Yeah, I think it. Like I said, I think it's running the program incompetently. I don't think it's financially motivated, because they're gonna make money regardless.
Yeah, Alex and Bourbonnais, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Give a shout out to you guys for bringing this into light. You got Ted Phillips in there trying to run football, trying to run the football organization. And look, it's funny how he brings up Ryan reports to Ted, so Ted is making football calls. It's just embarrassing to our organization. And look, something's got to change. Still, you've been calling it. It starts up top. It's just so embarrassing to hear what I heard today. It's just sad. Chicago deserves a winning culture. And with Ted Phillips in there, it's not winning.
Yeah, I always say history will show you the track record for the future. And when you are a team and a family that own this team, when all front offices were getting bigger, and in that time you decided to eliminate the general manager position, go in the opposite direction, it tells you all you need to know. And again, they continue to just make the wrong decision. And
they were led
to this, to the losing and never having a quarterback.
They were complementing issues that just, I mean, are not as meaningful. Like, they were basically, you'd ask the question of what about getting the quarterback situation correctly? And, well, I think we have the right guys in place that'll get that done. Well, what leads you to that conclusion? Because your general manager has stepped to the plate, swung and missed several times.
You want those names?
Why do you think that that offense is going to get better? Well, because Matt's come in and he's working with Ryan and he has, you know, his hand in the acquiring of talent. Well, it's equated into a bottom third offense for three straight years.
Here's who Ryan Pace is responsible for: Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray, and Nick Foles. And he's going to be in charge next year trying to save his job to find a quarterback.
What did you take from the, I mean, they weren't going to speak about certain people a lot, like Mitch. I got the impression at one time I felt like Ryan was trying to tell you that they hadn't closed the door yet on Mitch.
On both. I heard both, too. I heard at one point one of them, Waddle, mention about that Foles.
Oh, he's under contract,
they're still being evaluated. Yeah. It's a definition of insanity. James and Gurney, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, James?
James just dropped.
All right. Let's take more of your calls coming up. 312-332-3776. I want to share you one other Ryan Pace thing, and it has to do with quarterbacks. That's next.
Now that you have a new health plan, you should plan to use it. Find helpful tips and more help at getcoveredillinois.gov. Your health coverage starts here.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Basically, the way to sum everything up was, for 45 minutes, George and Ted told you there's nothing wrong with their team. Everything's great. Everyone's awesome. And if you don't think that, forget you. And then Pace and Nagy were the same as they've always been. Pace is very elusive, giving you any real concrete answers. His hair game was on point.
It was very good.
And Matt Nagy gave you so much word salad, and he is so good with the mea culpas. Yeah. The problem is, it's one mea culpa after another, year after year after year.
I don't want any more mea culpas. I want to be standing here hurling praises at
yes.
you.
Yes. I'm tired of you saying you're sorry. It's admirable that you say you're sorry all the time and that you're going to fix it and you're going to work real hard. But stop saying you're sorry because you keep screwing up. Just stop screwing up. That's it. So here's Ryan Pace with Mark Potash. And this goes into what you were saying earlier. Like, some of the guys today with the questions, the reporters asked really good, direct questions.
Very respectful as well.
Yeah, okay. And this is about the quarterback situation and with Ryan Pace's answer.
With all due respect, Ryan, what specifically was the misevaluation that led you to choose Trubisky over Mahomes and Watson? And what specifically have you learned from that mistake that will help you get it right this time?
Yeah, you know, I think, again, I get the question, Mark, and, you know, we're focused now. I think what you just said is, like, what did you learn as we go forward and making sure in any acquisition we make that we're doing it the right way? You know, I think, and I don't think, I would say this, the chapter, we still got a lot of decisions to make. I mean, the season just ended 3 days ago, so we have a lot of things we got to work through with a lot of decisions on our roster, including quarterbacks. So some of those things still got to unfold. But the key word to me is taking this on together with our scouts, and not just with Matt, with the coaches that he has around him. I really feel strong, especially with the quarterback position, when you talk about Matt and Ragone and Flip and Laser, and us just taking on a lot of these tasks together. That's what gives me confidence.
Didn't answer either question, and well, Waddle, was that what you were alluding to? Did you think he was saying that
Mitch's
chapter
like he was going to say
over?
The chapter hasn't been – I thought he was going to say on Mitch hasn't been closed.
Right.
And I think what you would – you know, would normally would say is the book on Mitch hasn't been closed, but he was talking chapter. Now, I don't want to finish his sentence for him, but I'm telling you what I finished it for him. I was sitting on my couch watching this, and he goes, the chapter, and I go, on Mitch? Isn't good. And then I think what they're selling you on as well, when they talk about continuity and collaboration, what they're selling you on, and you heard some of it there as well, is that Matt's going to be in the room this time when they make the quarterback decision. And with Matt's guidance, they're not going to make the same mistake in the evaluation process, because when Matt was in Kansas City, they got it right in Kansas City. So you connect the dots. Matt's going to be with us now as we evaluate the quarterback situation, and we're going to get it right. But then I would respond to that as I'm talking to myself all day today. Well, he did help on the evaluation of the addition of Nick Foles. And I would actually tell you that I think the Nick Foles trade was more about Matt than it was about Ryan. So,
right, and Matt added all of his guys to begin with. He added Flip, and he added Laser, and he added Castillo. And that didn't help the offense whatsoever. So why is more of his guys going to help now? Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
What's going on, guys? You hear me all right?
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. I got my headphones in. Just wanted to check. So, Sylvie, you know you were dealing with your cancer, and imagine if your doctor came up to you and was like, hey, Sylvie, I got these four doctors. They're, you know what, I'll be honest with you, they work on feet. But they get along. I mean, they get along great. They're all just they go out together. They, you know, they high five, you know, so they don't really know what they're doing, but they get along really well. What would you feel about that?
I'm going to a different doctor.
Exactly. So let me tell you this. The best organization in the National Football League over the last 20 years has been who?
The New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots. You know who runs the New England Patriots? Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. They hate each other. They can't stand each other. They're the best team in football almost every single year. And I get it. They had some things go their way. But those guys don't get along at all. And they're the best team every single year. So don't try to sell me on, oh, we're all friends. You know, we all really like each other and we all get along really well. That doesn't help me at all. That does nothing for me. It's getting to the point where it's like the Jim Boylan Bulls. I had tweeted you guys that, and it's like everybody knows this isn't the right decision, but they still do it. And Ryan Pace, for him to go out there and say, oh, well, every decision I've made has been right, like that right there, you should be fired because you're an idiot if that's what you think.
Well, you know, let's just keep it inside the DeBears family here. I mean, did Ditka and Buddy Ryan get along at all times?
No, that's a good, one, too, yeah.
And Andy,
good call. Thank
you. Such a great call, Andy, about it. It's something that I mentioned earlier. Like, listen, Ryan Pace made that selection of Mitch Trubisky with conviction. He just believed, and he went up, and he went all in. Again, that's admirable. But I'd rather you draft with competence.
It's not even admirable, Waddle. It's like what you say about not doing
drugs.
You don't get extra credit.
Right.
Every pick should be made with conviction. If you're doing your job uncertainly when you make a draft pick after months of preparation, then that's an automatic firing.
Right. And the point I'm making is you connect the dots to this concept of collaboration as well. If you're both on the same page about a crappy idea, then what good is the collaboration? Well, you know what? We both thought that putting poop on our turkey sandwich was going to be a good idea.
You got two really bad chefs then,
even though
you're collaborating.
So, like,
your sous chef sucks. Your whole line sucks. You're
and
putting poop
what?
On sandwiches.
And guess what? We collaborate on everything. Don't tell me how it worked out. I don't care. Don't tell me about the results. We collaborated on this. And guess what? Because we work well together, we want to maintain that continuity of creating really mediocre decisions that equate to really mediocre results.
CJ in Lansing, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, CJ?
What's going on, guys? How is everybody?
We're good.
Fantastic.
Good. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Maybe they're hanging on to this regime for another year because they figure, who wants the job? You've got Foles under contract. You've got an overpaid defense that's another year older. Allen Robinson, arguably your best offensive weapon, is likely gone. You're picking at 20, And by most draft experts' analysis, all the quarterbacks are going to be gone by then. So what are you going to do? You're going to put a Band-Aid over it on another year with a new regime, have another bad draft, and be in the same spot that you're in. So I'm thinking maybe they ride it out one more year, hope for a better draft pick, you know, quote-unquote tank, and revisit it. That's why they wouldn't commit to saying how long everybody was under contract earlier today.
CJ, I think you're giving – thanks for the call. I think you're giving them too much credit. And, again, they could start with Ted Phillips. They could bring in a new football president and keep these guys. They did nothing. They said everything the way it runs in our organization is perfect.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can rip the Band-Aid off now and just know that the healing's going to take some time here. I don't, and maybe Matt and Ryan, for you know what? Maybe they get it right. Miraculously, maybe they get it right. And we're sitting around here next year going, wow, I didn't expect to see that. I'm just telling you, you have to play the odds when you're evaluating this stuff, and you base what you think is going to happen on what you've seen happen. And what you've seen is a whole lot of mediocrity over the last couple of years. And based on what you heard today from the decision makers, you really have to ask yourself, are you really expecting it to get a whole lot better?
Tomorrow at this time, more conversation. We have a Notre Dame matinee. After that, Bleck and Abdallah are live. Join them. It's Waddle and Sylvie. Have a great Wednesday.